Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Self-help from the
hip. Small dose. We're talking that shit. Small dose. And keeping
it real. Small
dose. With
me and Seals.
It's so funky. Ah, I'm so excited to talk to you. You are just everything, what you stand for. Your comedy, my husband and I watched that, died laughing. You are just, it's an honor.
With the testify hand.
You are. I can't get over it that
Thank
I'm talking
so
to you.
Much. Well, you know, we here at Small Doses are very honored to be talking to you as well. You're a trailblazer. You're a maverick.
I'm
No, you're not. You're doing. We have
doing.
Doers here. We have doers here. Okay. As the great Yoda once said, there is no try, only do.
There is only do. Only do. Well, thank
I mean,
you.
Like you sang the national anthem. I'm not a fan of the song, but I like how you sang it. You know what I'm saying? Like you made it your own. Very difficult to do. We know that Whitney
is a very hard song. It is.
Whitney is the standard, you know, and let me just tell you very quickly, because I never got to tell you this, but the choice to modulate and do a key change in the middle of the Star Spangled Banner, honey, that's not a casual choice, okay?
I definitely thought about it. I was like, Lord, you know, this is a one shot. Nobody will ever do Whitney. Only Whitney will ever be able to do that. But she was definitely.
Yeah, the choir.
Her and Jasmine Sullivan were like my two, where I was like, Lord.
I have little goose pimples because I was like, did she just modulate the
I did.
SSB? Because that's
you
not
know,
a thing. It's already high enough as it is. So.
I was so nervous that day too. Oh my God. Like if I could
we need you to sing the Negro National Anthem.
I really do need to sing the Negro National Anthem. Sing a song.
But you were going to say something. You said you were nervous that day. Why?
Oh yeah. You know, it was just a moment, you know, as you know, you've been and had my back through so much of the
racism.
How do I?
The racism.
That thing. Yeah. And so I was like, this is a moment to shut up a lot of these people. I'm just going to shut them up right here. Still haven't,
well, you know,
but I thought
Well,
maybe.
I was going to say, because it's never about your talent. Mm-mm. It's never. Like, those are the same people who are there cheering on the players who are going to play their hearts out. And, you know, they're on their favorite teams, et cetera, but they wouldn't let them in their house.
No, 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 absolutely not. They would never let you in the house or date their daughter.
Touche. Right. So it's like, it becomes more of just, I feel like if anything, I hope that it silenced some of the, less about it silencing them. I hope that it silenced some of the doubt that was happening in your own mind.
Yeah,
you
it
know,
definitely
on whether,
was.
Because it breeds imposter syndrome, even
yes.
though it's
yes.
like, it's always wild to me how Black folks end up having imposter syndrome in places that we created.
You know, it's the anxiety that I have just every time I set foot on a stage, every time I walk down a red carpet, I just don't know what I'm going to face. And it's a lot. And for you to even mention imposter syndrome.
Is that country music based? Is it specifically being Black in country music?
Yes. Yes.
So start us from the beginning, because let me just say, like, I think something that's specifically, I think something that is very specifically unique about your voice is that when we hear your voice, it doesn't sound like, oh, this is somebody who's doing R&B and country music. No.
Yeah.
Like, it's a country voice. You have a country voice. Yes. And so I think that in itself is something that has to be acknowledged and applauded. Yeah. Like, yeah. It's not like, oh, I'm just squeezing in over here trying to do some weird shit. No. Like,
no. It's in my DNA, for sure.
It's clear. I mean, it's in the vibrato. We yes. hear it. We hear it.
Yes.
So yeah. what brought, because I think a lot of my listeners, I know this about my listeners. They ain't listening to country music. Okay?
Yes. So, I mean, but rightfully so. There's a reason.
As we talk to the first Black woman to ever be nominated for a Best Solo Artist Grammy Award in the country music category, we have to acknowledge not only the history, which I want us to get to, but also just your history and how you even ended on, how you even came on that road. So I know that a lot of the interviews you do, people already know this journey, but would you mind just giving my listeners some insight into your journey?
Yeah,
into
the
grand old country of things.
Well, it first started with gospel. You know, I grew up a Southern Baptist, you know, my mom and dad, deacon and deaconess. And alrighty. I spent a lot of time in church, you know, and so it started there. And it also started on a church trip. We were in Arlington, Texas. I'm from Waco, Texas. And we were in Arlington, Texas, and we went and saw a Texas Rangers baseball game. I'll never forget it. The announcer said at the very beginning at the national anthem, they said, please rise as 10-year-old Leanne Rimes sings the national anthem. And that was it for me. That was the moment. You know, they say you see it, you can be it. And I saw this girl that was my age. I was like, I want to do that. I didn't think
Can I just tell you that I saw Anna Paquin win the Oscar when she was 12 for the piano. And that night I was like, oh, I'm not going to be a pediatrician.
Nope.
I'm about to be on this camera.
I'm not going
to
be a teacher or a doctor. Like, that is what I want to do. Right there.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was for me. And then my grandma, she loved Dolly Parton. So when I would go over her house, and she lived in the country and didn't have cable, so all I had to watch were like Southern movies like Fried Green Tomatoes or Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers VHS tapes. So that's kind of where it started for me. And then I heard Whitney Houston sing I Will Always Love You and the national anthem. And that was all I listened to my whole life. And then I went to school. I was living in LA, and I never in a million years thought, oh, you know, I can sing country music. Like, I loved it and I wanted to do music, but I didn't think that there was a space for me in country music because I didn't see any of me. There wasn't even Darius Rucker at the time. Like, he just...
Hootie.
Hootie had just gotten on the scene at that time. And so I was in LA struggling, you know, mm-hmm. LA's, it's a struggle. And I was in school. And I befriended this screenplay writer who asked me randomly, like, what I wanted to do with my life. And I was like, well, I want to sing country music, but I don't know how. And she was like, well, you definitely should. It's in your voice. And I said, I know, but I'd have no idea where to go from there. And it was kind of me speaking it into existence, really. I met a producer that knew a producer that was working with Glenn Campbell. And the next thing I know, I was singing country records.
Just like that.
Just like that.
That's very The Alchemist. Like, when you state what you want, the universe will conspire to give it to you.
It's true. And I thought it was going to be it was naive of me to think that it was going to be an easy thing to do.
Did you think it was going to be an easy thing?
Well, I thought, you know, me being naive, I thought, oh, well, I can sing, you know, and I sing country music very well. How, you know, these people are going to accept me. I've lived in LA, you know, we're a melting pot. Everybody loves everything. So I just assumed that that's what it was going to be back in the South where I'm from. And I was wrong. wrong.
Because it breaks my heart because, you know, the thing about music is that it's supposed to be the breaker of barriers. Yep. You know, it's like so often when we hear conversation. Like, you know, there was a conversation the other day that Pharrell had with Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters, and mm-hmm. Pharrell was like giving him all these props. And Grohl was like, I was a basic drummer. I got all of my skill. I got all of my like drum ideas from black artists. He's like from Sly and the Family Stone. And what was the other example he gave? Damn, I can't even remember. My mom would walk in right now. But he was like, that's where all of that came from. And when you saw, like, in the 70s and 60s, when there was still, you know, Jim Crow going on over here, you're seeing, you know, the Stones with, you know, all black singers with them. Yep. And it's just, so it's always, so anytime I see the ire that you get, it's just incredibly frustrating to me because I'm like, this is supposed to be a space where that don't exist.
And it exists. What was hard for me is even in that space, so I finally got signed relatively quickly, which is why I thought, oh, I've got this in the bag.
So that's what I was going to ask you. Like when you got signed, were you being looked at like, oh, why would you be, why are you even in here singing country music?
You know, there were, when I was first taking meetings, I did face that. I faced it specifically with a record label, Warner, to be exact.
You better say the name!
And I will never forget the guy. It wasn't the president of the label, but it was a specific A&R guy who was known for discovering artists. I remember him saying to me, he was like, well, do you co-write? Because in Nashville, we co-write. It was finding all of these things to like make me feel like I was inauthentic. So I experienced that. And then when I got signed, you know, I had every, again, like these people cared about me, but it's that fragility thing. So they were like, well, we've got to make sure you sound really, really country because all of these people are going to think you're inauthentic. You're not authentic.
Well, it's that black woman always got to be twice, you know, twice as good to get half as far.
And like, meanwhile, I was hearing on the country radio stations at the top of the bro country movement were all of these white country singers, male, singing R&B melodies, putting trap beats in their songs, you know, doing this with their hands and
accidental racist
hats and Timberlands and all of the things. I had to watch that. I didn't have to, but I.
But you witnessed it.
I witnessed it, and it was just. And all the while, I was thinking, and which is where the imposter syndrome came from. It was like, well, I'm not enough. Like, so I really need to show these people that I am for country music. And it just, I lost myself and it was a very, very dark time for me for sure.
How did you find yourself?
So my husband called my ass out.
Gotta love a partner that's gonna do that.
Yeah. We were at a bar here in LA because we're long distance. He's a lawyer out here in LA. And I would go back and forth. And I remember I was sitting with him one night and I said, why do you think country music isn't working for me? And he had been telling me this for years, but this day particularly, I heard it. And he said, because you're running away from everything that makes you different. You're running away from your blackness. And it just like,
woo, Grant!
It like shot me to the core. And I was like, and I looked back and I was like, I looked at all these pictures of me on social media and I'm like, who is this person?
What were you doing that you found? What were you
like
doing?
Wearing floppy hats and bell bottoms and just trying to be
big
as
belts,
big
buckles.
Belts and the flowy stuff. I was trying to be as white as I possibly could to fit in.
Impossible.
This. And it's, you know, and it was, you know, it was a huge awakening, embarrassment, ashamed, all of the things that I could have possibly felt in that time. I did. I felt ashamed. I did. I needed that awakening. I need that calling out. And so when I saw that, I like, scrapped everything that was off of my social media. Anything that wasn't me, I took it down.
Wow.
And in that moment, I went back to like, I studied Black history in college. Like, how did I forget, you know, who I was in those moments.
It's so easy. It's so easy.
It's so easy.
It's so easy. I mean, when I was transitioning out of music and trying to figure out, like, okay, what's my next? Because I had, like, tried to do music and it just wasn't happening. And I was
it's
like,
hard.
What's my... Because you feel like you're giving so much and not getting anything. And at a certain point, I was like, I'm going to drain myself dry.
Yes.
So I felt like there was a bigger thing pushing me. And I was like, okay, what direction am I supposed to go in? Mm-hmm. And just everyone around me was like, you got to get the white people to like you. You got to get the white people on your side. You got to be the it girl. You got to get the girl next door.
Like,
yes. You got to stop. You can't be talking about all that stuff that you talk about, all that controversial stuff, all that black stuff, because you got to be mainstream. And it's like, I'm not mainstream. I swim against the stream.
And what if the girl next door looks like me and you, you know? Like, we're the girl next door to somebody. Somebody.
Right. Like, we're not just out here on an island. Like, right. We're with people. Exactly.
It was hard.
So did you have to, like, let go of your team? Was it a situation where you had to just kind of wrangle them? That's great. So they got it?
I didn't even care if they got it or not. I didn't consult anybody about it. And if they were going to be on that train with me, they were. If they weren't, they weren't. That was it. But thank God they were. But I remember after I had that conversation with my husband, I went to Nashville to write. And in the same week I wrote
To co-write.
I sure did. And I wrote, you know, I wrote my song Black Like Me, and I wrote a song called Love My Hair in the same week. It was just, I was like, never again will I ever do that ever again.
Have you ever worked with Indie Irie?
I have not, and I would die to work with her.
You know, y'all are both in Nashville.
I know. I've yet to meet her.
I'm about to make a DM group chat.
Let's
for
do
y'all
it.
Too.
Let's do it. We I communicate will do that before on the day social is done. Media. I just love her and everything she stood for before it was the thing to do.
You know, and you know what I love about India? India's giving you flowing caftans. India's giving you a head wrap, but India's also giving you, like, no, fuck these people. Because
exactly.
Let me tell you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She, I will never forget that Grammy award, that Grammy season. She didn't win an award. And I knew even then, I was like, mm-hmm. This industry.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. This industry is different than the music, mm-hmm. right? How do you, and in your situation, I think it's even greater than anyone else, because I know that I stopped with music because I was like, this industry is making me hate music.
Yeah.
How do you, this is going to be.
I've hated music. I've hated music. Sometimes, even today, I still do. It's really hard. But my mom told me, you know, she said, find a purpose within your purpose. Mm. And what ended up being a self-awakening for me ended up being turning into a fight for those after me. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way that I can survive this, is knowing that I am completely turning around an industry. And that's something that I haven't even been able to admit until recently, because, you know, we've been stuck in COVID. I haven't seen the change until I've gone to these country music award shows and I've seen Black people in the crowd. I've seen Black people behind the cameras. I've seen Black people in front of the cameras. It's like, it's completely transforming.
Well, you know, you're being effective when you're upsetting people.
Yep.
Right. Like, that's the frustrating part.
That is, you know, so frustrating.
It's like,
they don't know the trauma that you deal with when that happens.
Well, and they speak louder. A lot of times they speak louder than the supporters. And that's why I'd be trying to tell folks, like, mm-hmm. if you really support somebody and you're on the positive side, like, you can't just be like, yeah, you go, girl. You have to yell it,
yep.
you know, because mm-hmm. we need it.
We need it
we
so
need
bad.
It because the negative is so loud. They feel so earnest in their fight to bring you down, you know, that it can outshine the positive that's happening so easily.
Absolutely. And you have a way bigger platform than I do. So I can't even imagine the daily battles and struggles that you go through. Just like you're doing it for the, you're doing it for the culture too. And at the end of the day, we're still human beings. We still have a heart. We're still somebody's daughter.
Right. We're a girl next door. We're a daughter.
All like, things. So yeah.
But I was really, so you share, and I know why you do this, and it's necessary that you do this, but you'll share on Instagram. You'll share like, look at this wild shit somebody said to me. Look at this racist shit somebody said to me. And, you know, I chimed in one time and I posted. Like,
you don't even understand what that did for me.
Well, I appreciate that it did so much, because it was just like, I didn't even think about it. I don't know what I was. I wasn't even like, my lipstick was half on, half off. I was like, I need to say this right now. But what I loved that happened was so many of my following was like, oh, I need to follow Mickey right now. Like, we need to get into this right now because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take like ardent change, people feeling like this is a part of the, because what you're doing in country music is a part of the bigger work that has to be done right now in terms of not allowing there to be erasure of Black history, in terms of, you know, not allowing there to be the continued bullshit ass argument against critical race theory, which is not a thing. You know, it's a part of the continued effort of Black folks to say our lives matter. Like it's not separate. It's incredible to see you continue to go forth, because I know that even for me, like, there are Black folks that just hate my existence, that are like, she's not really Black. That's not true. That are like, she's doesn't care about Black people. That's not true. That she's an operative. That's not true. And I'm like, but I still am going to keep doing this,
because
regardless.
It's not for them, if that's how they feel. The people that
So that's my question for you. Like, when you're making music in country music, and there's all these people within country music that don't want your presence, how do you continue to go forth like, fuck that?
You know, it's a daily struggle and a daily battle. But it's like you said, the people, that group of people that feel that way is so small. But it feels so big because they're so loud. And the way I'm received a lot of times, because when I see that, I'm thinking, oh God, like, what am I doing stepping foot out here? I can't keep running into a burning house, which I keep thinking to myself. And then
a burning cross,
you know? So every time And so every time I'm there, I know there's people that don't like me, but it's not for them. And I, here's an example. There's an artist, his name is Breland. He's a Black guy in country music that is an awkward Black guy that can sing his ass off, like sing his ass off, write his ass off. And the country music community is embracing him. And he threw a show and he threw a show at the Ryman to raise money for this, this charity. And it was truly a celebration of everyone. There were Black artists, there were white artists, there were massive country artists that were a part of this that you wouldn't ever think would want to be a part of this change, but people are seeing that we're better for it and we're better together, and they want to be a part of that. And some of these people are low key coming up to me saying, thank you for saying what needed to be said.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Do you feel like the artists are coming from it differently than these folks on the outside?
Absolutely. There's some that, you know, they have their following, and that's fine. Go forth and do you. But, you know, it's like you said, the more people see this change, those people that have ostracized themselves are going to start looking like,
I'm on the outside. It's FOMO.
It is. And they're seeing, like, being in that space. And I mean, I still, you know, I see people that are wanting to be a part of that change, but I'm still seeing the problematic posts on their social medias, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, I don't, you know what, let me just say though, I know you got to say it's neither here nor there, but it is here.
Yes. Yes.
And it is because we're at a critical time.
Yes.
In time.
Yes.
You know, where a post is no longer just like, that's my opinion. It's like, no, that's your support.
Yes.
Of a direction that is moving, that this country, yes, is moving in, that says that I don't matter.
Yeah.
That says that I am less than, that my history and my existence is irrelevant. Mm-hmm. So you're no longer just, you know, there was a time when it was like, oh, I don't do politics. Everybody's doing politics now.
Everybody is doing politics. And there's very specific types of politics too.
I would love for you all, I would love for you to just give some folks some insight into the history of Black folks in country music. Because I don't think people know. I mean, Black people created everything, really. But
yes,
in specifically in country music,
yes,
we are not new to this.
Mm-mm. First of all, the banjo came from Africa.
Say it.
I'll say it again and again and again. The banjo came from Africa. Knock, knock, knock. The banjo came from Africa. When you go to the Country Music Hall of Fame in Nashville, you know, that's the birth of country music, you know?
Right.
One of the first things you see as you walk through the museum are Black people picking on their front porch. And when I say Black people, I'm assuming possibly slaves.
Right.
Is what it looked
at
like
least
to
sharecroppers.
Me. Something, you know? And, you know, that's what I saw. A lot of the country musicians, they studied under Black musicians. And learned their way from that. So, I mean, we can just start there. And so it's not theirs. It's ours and theirs.
How do you... You know what? This one I would like to know. I know that I feel like you have to do a lot of interviews where you have to... you know, educate the interviewer or
yeah,
they have to, this is not that space.
Yeah.
So
okay.
what would you want to say in this space that you feel like you don't get to say on a typical interview?
Yes. You know, country music came from Black people.
And why?
Country music came from Black people. The instrumentation, it wasn't theirs. It wasn't theirs. And
why do they think that doesn't matter?
I mean, genres were created clearly to create race lines, like what made everybody comfortable Ooh. With what. Mm. And it seems like every genre, everybody can be a part of except for country music. That's the one remaining genre, in my personal opinion, that is finally having its day.
You know what's interesting, though, is that I feel like when it comes to these other spaces, it was like white folks matriculating into like very designated Black spaces, mm-hmm. right? Like this is like hip hop is a Black space. R&B yes. is a Black space. Mm-hmm. Soul is a Black space. But then it would be like, oh, look, there's Eminem. Like, oh, look, there's Adele. You
there's
know,
JoJo.
Oh,
look, there's Christina yes. Aguilera. Yeah. There's Tori Kelly.
And there's been just like, come on in, you know, come on in. And I think for some Black folks though, it feels like, damn, like we get erased even in these even in spaces that were designated for us because it becomes kind of like this, novelty, yep. like, oh, like mm-hmm. we can get the Black part of it, but like in a package that we feel comfortable with.
Yes.
And I feel
and
like, you know, when
one
it comes to,
makes it every 50 years.
Yes.
Like Charlie Pride.
Well, and so that's the thing with country. I feel like the numbers are rising in terms of Black folks coming into the country space and being like, you gonna get you know, you going to get this country and you're going to get it black. And I feel like, to me, what is so super dope about you going through that awakening is that was the first time that I'm hearing country songs from a black perspective, mm-hmm. like in a very clear way. Like, yeah. it's not to say there haven't been black people performing yes. country music, yeah. but in this time frame, in this era, like, I didn't hear Darius Rucker doing, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I didn't hear him being like, I'm a brother.
No, you did not. That was something that was really important for me. I knew that I was going to get hate doing that, but it was more so country music is our entire country. Mm. And who's to say that me singing about this isn't country music? Country music is three chords and the truth, right? So this is my truth.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Like, what makes it different than R&B? Like, it's I know sonically.
Yeah. It's three chords and the truth. There's not really a difference. Like, country music and R&B and soul and gospel, there's a very fine line. It's just been, you know, what this country
siphoned off as
to,
like,
one race of people. Yes. But it's not that way. Like, there's a lot of black people that like country music that just never felt that there was a space for them. So why are they going to invest in that if they don't see themselves in that? I mean, I understand it, you know, when I was opening up for a major country artist and was doing an after show signing. And as I was signing about to hug a child who was, he had Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. I went to go hug him. And as I was hugging him, somebody walked by and said, everybody's waiting for the N-word. Confederate flags, wow. The whole thing. And so my whole thinking was, an artist to experience. There's still the Confederate flags. There's still the whole thing.
Yeah.
There's still people that treat you a certain way because they don't want you there, but that's all fine. But there's power in numbers.
Yes.
And that was one thing I realized where we've gone wrong. Is you can't just have one. You can't be the lone wolf. You can't have that space to yourself and expect change.
It's true.
You've got it.
Do you and the other black country artists, like, do you all talk together? Do you all support each other? Like, is there any...
Absolutely. Really? Absolutely. It is I think we all kind of are starting to realize, like, an influx of artists have to make it. It's a cycle. And then the more that are making it, the more there's kids out there. There's people listening to this podcast right now that are going to see this and be like, I want to do that. I've always liked to do that. Why do they always designate us to just one thing?
Like, K. Michelle's out here yodeling, y'all. Like,
you know what I mean? Like, it's like, that's why I like Shonda Rhimes and Bridgerton. She is putting black people in these periodic pieces, whether they were technically in that space or not. She is like, this is the new normal. And, like, that's how it needs to be in every aspect of life. It shouldn't even be a conversation.
So tell me about when you found out that you were going to sing the Star Spangled Banner at the Super Bowl.
I remember I was sitting at home, and Jesse Collins has been such a...
Shout out to Jesse!
Jesse Collins, that man.
That's my guy.
I want to do for other artists what he has done for me. And he's used his platform to lift up other artists, black artists specifically, like me. And I remember I was sitting at home going through postpartum depression. I'm pretty sure. Shit. Yeah. The first few months of baby, it was a lot, but I was also going through a lot of hate that I've never dealt with. And that did not help the situation. But I remember I was sitting there and my manager calls and he's like, hey, are you around? And I was like, sure. And he was like, okay, I'm going to wait 1 second. And he calls up Jesse and I'm like, hey. And he starts singing this, the Star Spangled Banner. And I'm like, what are you asking me to do? And he's like, I want you to sing the national anthem of the Super Bowl. And I didn't think it through and just said yes. Like, why the hell would anybody say yes to that? That is not.
Because when Jesse asked you, he always asks at a point where you're literally like, I had just got off of an interview where I had announced that I was leaving The Real. And like 2 seconds after I closed the interview, Jesse calls me. Hey, you want to host the BET Awards?
You're like, yeah.
I was like, is this an avails check? Or are you asking like if I like want to? He's like, no, like if you want to, you can.
You're like, oh my God. Yeah.
He's like, all right, I'll call you right back. And I just went and sat on the couch. Like,
yeah, that's kind of, yep.
What's happening?
That's exactly, you know. That's exactly how I felt. And I was like, and then it's over. And then you're like, shit, I'm singing the national anthem at the damn Super Bowl in front of Jay-Z. Like, no. And Prince Harry.
Well, I'm curious, like, in the constructing of the arrangement, you know, because you had the choir, like, how did that all come together? Was that a vision that you had? Yes. Or was, you know, this...
Oh, I remember I was going through, you know, there's just been a lot that's been going on in this country, you know, it's a huge reckoning, awakening, fight. Well, I don't know what it is,
I know,
but I was determined to show what America is to me. And I wanted to have a choir so that when they watched me, they were the faces of America, whether it was a Black trans woman, a girl with one leg. I wanted what I felt America was on that platform. And so I was like, I need a choir. It was me. I was singing all the parts. I made the choir, but I wanted them to be a part of it.
Back the fuck up.
It's all me.
You, Mariah Carey,
and I lied. There's one guy, me and a guy. We did it.
Shut.
Yep.
Those are all
if you ever need a choir, I've got different. I've got Sister Henrietta. I got Ashley.
Now see, you done opened a whole can of worms. All right. Can I get a Sister Henrietta note?
You know,
can I
get Sister Henrietta's got that slow vibrato. She's kind of you got like that opera sounding voice, and she's like
operatic.
Thank you. I couldn't say it. And she's like, oh you know. And Ashley, she can't really sing. She's good, but she's got heart. She's got heart. You know, you always have that one that can't really sing and then has no business being in the choir, but they're in the choir. Yeah. I've got her too. So I have all these different.
Wait, let me hear Ashley. Let me hear Ashley, please.
Oh, say, can you see? And she's in there. In order for a choir to work, you have to have the different verse. It's true. So there it is.
Oh my God. I have never been so happy I asked the question.
Yep.
I am so impressed right now.
Yeah. It's pretty great. It's my favorite part.
Wait, okay. So there was the guy. Did he also have like different?
He did his part in Nashville and I did my part just over the computer in my little home studio.
Mm-hmm. Just singing into Pro Tools.
Just singing into Logic, to be exact.
Into Logic. Yes. All right. Let's be specific. Yes. Let's be clear.
Yes, be clear.
My man is an engineer, yes. So I understand. It matters.
So yeah.
Oh my God. Mickey, I'm going to laugh about that.
You're going to die. Mm-hmm. Sister Henrietta, though.
Oh, wait. Oh.
Yes.
My vibrato's too fast. My vibrato's too fast.
You got to slow it down.
Oh.
Yes. It matters. It matters.
I got to work on Sister Henrietta.
You got to work on Sister Henrietta.
That is funny as hell. Y'all, so y'all need to hear, y'all need to understand, like, true singers, the instrument is the voice.
Yes.
You know? Yes. And you are completely illuminating us, illuminating that for us. And also, just illuminating your mastery. Because let me tell you, motherfuckers can barely sing as them.
I know. Okay? I know.
A lot of folks can barely sing just as their own self. Like, that, just holding on to that is enough. You out here with a whole
choir.
I mean, a whole schizophrenic choir. Like, you got the Tracy Ullman of voices. Yes. Like, this is incredible to me. We got to do a sketch someday at some point.
I'm down. I'm down.
I'm seeing it. It's written. It's already written. Jesse and Dion will produce it. It's happening.
It's happening. Like, I'm down.
I got it. So on this show, we have a segment called The Script where we always put people on to, you know, additional resources where they can check out more information about what we're talking about. So in this specific case, I would love for you to suggest some Black country music artists, some other artists that folks can check out and support that they can get behind.
Yes. Breland is one that I love so much. He just had his first number one on country radio. So you should check him out. He's written with everybody from Keith Urban. Like, he is like the guy right now. Truth. He is. Brittany Spencer. She is a Black woman in country music that I think is just incredible. She has an incredible voice. She is all things good in this world. She's doing some, she's opening, I think, for Megan Thee Stallion and some, some festival in Baltimore. She's from Baltimore. So you would love to listen to her. Who else? Let me look on my phone because I have.
Okay.
My brain does not work.
I'm wondering, does the NAACP Awards have a country music category?
Kane Brown. I'm sure y'all know Kane Brown. He's another really good one. Blanco. Blanco Brown is another really dope country artist. He's actually already had a number one on country radio. Men are seem to have a better time at, you know, making it in country music than people like us. But those are a few that I think you'd really like.
You know what? I want to see the NAACP Awards add a country music category.
Yes.
Like, they have gospel, they have jazz, soul, R&B, et cetera. And I'm sure that just by nature of there being such a small number of artists for this month, you know, and also I think, you know, unintentionally there, and I'm spitballing here, so don't, this is not by any means based on any facts, but country has been so for so long relegated to like, oh, that's white people music.
Yeah.
Even though it is Black people music, that I'm gonna make a call and suggest that. I mean, I don't know how far that will go, but
there is an influx of Black artists that are really feeling empowered to pursue these careers. There's another guy named Chuck Adams. He's really, really good and cute. Women love him. He's like a little Black Harry Styles or something like that. Who's really, really good.
Chuck Adams.
Yeah. Chuck Adams, he's great too. But there are, you know, for some reason, people feel comfortable with delegating us to this one little space.
You know? We can't be okay with that.
No, we really, really can't. It just bothers me too when you hear even Black pop artists that are clearly pop artists that are still being delegated to the R&B category.
Right. Like Normani is a pop artist.
Doja Cat is a pop
is
artist.
Is a pop artist.
And they deserve that. They deserve that space, you know, because then it can take away from, you know, like a Teyana Taylor or a her. Or even a Kalani. Like there's spaces that it's.
You're so right.
We've got to keep fighting is all I have to say about that.
Well, we are so happy to see you continue to keep fighting. I know that I feel like just the when you just want to make your art and there's like this whole other beast of burden behind you, it can really weigh you down.
It does.
It can also create drive, you know, and it's like, depending on the day.
Yeah. Depending on the day, for sure. There's some days that are easier than others, but when I see the change happening, when I see and hear other really, you know, famous in that genre, country artists that are like, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That keeps me going for sure. So thank you.
How does your team and how does your label show up for you? Because they have to show up for you different than mm-hmm. they have to do for,
yeah,
you know, what's the chick from American Idol?
Carrie Underwood.
Come on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, they got to show up for you different than Carrie Underwood.
Well, you know, they've really started showing up for me in the hair department.
Okay.
The hair and makeup department, because for a lot of artists, especially in this genre, they get a hair and makeup person that does both. And
this ain't just a blowout, baby.
No, it's not. And I was just looking dusty and crusty and gray with like crunchy hair and edges. It was so bad. And they really showed up for me in getting me a proper hair and makeup person. And it has changed my life, and telling these white people and then being able to see the difference between a good lace front wig and a bad wig. They now know. And they're like, God, her wig was not great.
Teaching.
And they understand and they see the confidence that I have. I'm like, as a black woman in a country space, I cannot come out there. Black Twitter is going to get me.
This wig can't sit up. This wig can't. It can't sit up. Like, somebody woke out they sleep. It can't.
It cannot. So, you know, they've showed up for me in that way. They showed up for me. You know what? I'm going to just go ahead and tell this story because I'm still really upset about it. They've shown up to me in places. There was at one point in time, the head of DEI at CMA is a white woman. She caused a lot of drama in my life. And a person who's head of diversity, equity, and inclusion should support their artists. And there was at one point in time where she broke confidentiality to make me look bad.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. When all I was doing was fighting for racism in country music.
Right.
And she went to...
And she took it upon herself.
She took it upon herself to talk to different news fronts without naming my name. And my label went to bat for me over that. Specifically...
But she still has her job.
She still has her job.
Okay.
She still has her job.
But you said that they specifically did what?
They specifically had my back. They specifically went to that that foundation, that major award show, and had it out with her and had my back. Whether the board keeps her or not, they've 100% had my back in ways. If I've ever been invited to any of those award shows, they've made sure she's not near me. Not next to me.
Mm.
Not sitting.
That's
next
what
to
I
me,
mean.
You know,
that's protecting black women.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they
that's
protect
protecting
me.
Black women.
Yes. And they protect
I'm
me.
I'm very
that
happy
way.
To hear that.
They have.
Because you're making them money. So.
And they have. And changes. I'm not only making changes in the country music industry for black people, for women too. Like, these women in country music, white women specifically, aren't thriving in this genre.
Really? That's news to me.
Oh, it's all in the data. Like, there's been a huge study, just so your listeners know, like, there may be like 3 or 4 women in the top 30.
Women. I mean, I think that we only, if you're not a country music fan, you only hear about country, like, at the Grammys per
mm-hmm.
se.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's like, okay, I mean, I feel like because I can name five
yeah.
women,
Yeah.
But mind you, it's over the course of like 30 years. Yeah. I'm like, well, you know, Reba McEntire, yeah. Shania Twain, and exactly. Faith Hill, and Taylor Carrie Underwood, Swift. And Taylor Swift.
That's so, it. Yeah, it's that bad. It is that bad. For women as
well.
So
they're just not, they don't get love from labels, or is it?
So in country music, country radio is still the way to make it, and versus other genres like streaming, and there's just other ways to make it. In country music, it's specifically radio. And there was at one point in time, a radio person on record compared women in country music to tomatoes. And said, you know, you have the salad and women are the tomatoes, where we only want a little bit of them here and there.
So we just want to hear men singing about drinking and their dogs. Okay.
And Daisy Dukes and tan lines and beer and more beer and more beer.
In America.
In America.
America.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about what's been going on in Texas? Like, as someone who is from Texas, and it continues to regress, I believe, politically.
I have to stop reading the news at times because it puts me in such a bad space. And there's certain things like, it's just, wow. Like, who... For people that are so concerned about freedom, mm-hmm. what they're doing isn't so freeing, is it?
I think, you know, what we're all coming to realize is that this idea of freedom is really nuanced mm-hmm. when it comes to anybody outside of a certain a certain phenotype, a certain religious background, you know, like freedom.
As long as it's my version of freedom.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that to me is the complete antithesis of freedom.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, freedom is actually just, you know, having the right to live your best life.
Yeah.
Without hurting anybody else.
Yes.
And this idea that people can... you know, come up with reasons why they're being hurt by someone making a decision about their bodies. The fact that people are coming up with like, well, you're hurting me by talking about history. Well, it's fat. Even if someone doesn't express an opinion about history, it's just naming. So just saying what happened is hurting you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Yeah. It's a lot of, you know, it's such a hard, I don't know how to feel if you want me to be perfectly honest, because
please always be honest. Yeah.
It's just like, you want us to vote a certain type of way, but we can't save you every time. And then you still not do anything for your people.
Well, honey, you know, because that right there, you know, this whole Democrat situation, I'd be like, who do you want to support you? I don't, you know, because my mom would always tell me, like, when people wouldn't come to my birthday party and I'd be like, so-and-so didn't come. She'd be like, focus on who came.
Yeah.
Focus on who came. Right. Don't worry about who didn't show up. Focus on who came. And so that's how I look at the Democrats. I'm just like, y'all are always so pressed about, like, some white constituency that's not even really allegiant to you, but you have, instead of supporting and even strengthening the backing that has continually shown up for you, you take it for granted. And I know there's people listening like, well, you had said to vote for Biden. I absolutely did say that because I felt like, you know what, that can buy us some time,
right?
Because this Trump situation is bigger than I think most people really understand.
Yeah.
And, and I want us to hold these folks accountable.
Right.
And but the other part of it is people feeling like, well, then I'm not going to vote at all. And I'm like, well,
No, especially when you have the privilege to vote, you should definitely use that.
The privilege to vote. Mm. Well, we have had the honor and the privilege to have you here. We're so happy that we were able to make this happen.
I can't even tell you what an honor it is to talk to you. I feel like I should be the one asking you the questions because you're just...
If you have any questions, I'm here.
I just think you're incredible. I don't, you know, like what you're doing for Black people and Black women specifically, it's just, your presence is just so important, and it's so much bigger than I think even you realize, at least for me, you are. And I just thank you. I thank you for what you've done for me. You didn't have to do that. And you had my back, not even knowing me. And it really, really, really meant a lot. I can't even tell you.
That means a lot to me because I just feel like all we got is us.
That's it.
You know, all we got is us. And I know that it's got to be very isolating, mm-hmm. where you, the space that you're in, yeah. the, you know, carving a space out is incredibly yeah. isolating yeah. by nature of just, it's just you. And I'm glad to hear that there's other artists there that are now starting to show yeah. up and that you guys can band together. How do you feel like we can best support you all?
You know, again, it's just researching and streaming our music and finding okay. these artists and supporting them and following them and sharing them and encouraging other artists. If this is something that they want to do, like pursue country music, literally the only way that we can truly see change is in the power of numbers. And, yep. and it's happening. Like I said, every time I go to an award show and see more Black people in that crowd, and seeing that Black girl out there and being able to look at her with pride, and we have that understanding, it's just really beautiful to see. And that's how you support us. What you're doing, well, what you've done for me.
Well, y'all heard it. Okay. y'all heard it. Y'all right here. You know, we got to continue. I know that it is, as Black folks in this country, it really is exhausting to, on a regular basis, feel like we have to show up in purpose.
Yeah.
Not just artistically, but politically.
Yes.
And, but me being the consummate realist I am, it's where we still are.
Yep.
And I know that there's folks that would like to say that that's not the case. And maybe that makes you feel good to think that, but as long as you're still showing up, I'm fine.
Yes, yes. And still show up. We just have to keep showing up, yeah. no matter how hard it gets, no matter if you think your vote doesn't count. Like, it does. It does.
It does. And you said something about just, like, you know, having the privilege to vote.
Yeah.
You know, like, we are... Don't get me wrong. This country is incredibly fucked up and moving backwards. Mm-hmm. However, there are spaces that we've been able to carve out on the shoulders of those who came yes. before us. And we are privileged to be able to even exactly. continue to carve those spaces
exactly.
out. So it is our responsibility.
100% you know? It's our responsibility. After what so many of our people went through to get this opportunity and this privilege, it's our duty to do that.
And let me tell y'all, it's so short. Like, it's a short time span. You know, when we look at, like, Japan and China and India, like these are civilizations that have been in existence for like thousands and thousands.
Yes.
They were like, Jesus who? We right. know about him. We're like, right. So America in its existence and in our freedom as Black people, like we are new in the game. Mm-hmm. And when folks try to act like, oh, like you should get over that, you know, that was so long ago. It's not that long ago.
Some of these people are still alive.
We are living history, and so
they are still alive.
We got to continue, and we will continue to support you, Mickey.
Thank you.
And continue to consider. Like, I feel like I have to be so much more conscious now of, like, okay, I got to consider country as a space.
You got to consider it as a space. It's here. It's a space. It's a space for us, and we're creating that space.
We'll keep on going. We're going to keep on supporting. Damn it! Yes! God damn it! She is. And keep on grinding. And you know what? Shout out to Grant for
right?
shouting you out and, like, and checking
he
you.
He checked
because
me.
You need that.
He checked me.
You need that. By the way, when I was Googling, just getting my thoughts together for the interview, one of the questions was, what is Mickey Guyton's husband? And I'm like, oh, because he got brown. He got brown in the skin. They're like, what is he?
Because you can't tell. He looks Middle Eastern, but he's Black, Japanese, and Portuguese.
So there y'all go. We answered it. Like, what is that?
You can't tell what it is. It's definitely, yeah. It's my, yeah, poor guy. So, everybody's like, always like, what is he? He's black.
And there you have it. Yep. There we did. We did it.
Girl, I'm still just blown away. I'm going to go cry now. I'm like a legit fan.
Where are you on May 18th? Do you know?
I'm closing on a house in Nashville. What's going
on? Physically be there?
I might not necessarily. What's going on? I'll make whatever happen.
Well, we're in the process of closing on a contract. So fingers crossed, knock on wood. We're in the process of closing on a contract to do Smart, Funny, and Black as a Juneteenth special for TBS and HBO. And I would want you to sing, lift every voice and sing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Lift every voice and sing. Yeah. Please. Okay.
I just Jesse'd you, by the way.
You did. I'm like, Lord, let me go.
Well, he's executive producing it.
Okay.
He's executive producing.
Okay.
So, you know, Jesse did my special. Like, Jesse,
he's the one. He is.
I was telling him, I'm like, you know you're the new Clarence Avon, right?
Because
he's also going to give you... He's going to give you game in the middle of it. Like, all right, this is what you need to ask them for your contract. You need to make sure they give you...
Isn't he the best? Like, that is what I want to do for black people, man. I want to do that.
Well, you're doing it. You're doing it. And I think, you know, as you continue to just, you know, gain your confidence and your grounding in that space, like, you are going to have the capability to lead, you know, and create spaces specifically for building blackness in country music. Like, there needs to be like a Mickey Guyton competition.
Yeah.
You know?
I would love all that. I just want to support. That's it.
You should talk to Jesse about doing a show that does that.
Okay. I'm in.
Like, you could literally just say to Jesse, like, I want to do a show where we are highlighting black country music artists by giving them the opportunity to break into the space. And he'll be like, all right, give me 2 weeks.
Oh my God. Okay. I'm going to talk to him about it then. I'm going to talk to him about it.
Because that's how you start to really like shift shit, is you just do it without them.
Yes. That's kind of what my label, they just backed me up. I think my best friend is here. Rita?
Hey, Rita.
Come in. Yeah, I've known her since I was 15. Thank you so much.
Tell Rena I say hi.
Rena, Amanda says hi. Oh,
hello, Amanda.
Starburns Audio. A podcast network. Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.